The Creative Business Podcast is brought to you by Noosey. Online proposals made simple for creative businesses. Visit noosey.com to learn how your business can start winning more projects today.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Business Podcast, the podcast that aims to help you build a better, more successful creative business. I'm Nathan and I'm joined as always by Marcus Blankenship. How are you doing, Marcus?
I'm doing well, Nathan. How are you?
Okay. There was a pause there and I thought, has the recording gone off? That'd be just what we need after last week. This is the second time, kind of, that we're recording last week's episode, although it's a little bit different because we messed up the recording. So hopefully second time's a charm.
Yeah, I messed up the recording. I'll admit it.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I did it. Actually, I did it. When we did the SaaS episode with Michael, I realized after about 10 minutes that I did have my headphones in. So for those first 10 minutes when I was editing the podcast, I really had my work cut out for me to cut out the echo on two other channels, but still.
So now we've got a checklist, right?
We do have a checklist now, yep.
Yep.
Are we all plugged in okay? Do we have our headphones? Do we have the correct microphone set up? And I believe we're all good to go this week. So how are you doing anyway? How's your past week been?
It has been discouraging. I'm in a funk. Well, it started when I got up this morning. Well, the latest thing is I got up this morning to do a free call with someone who had taken a survey. And if you're on my list and you take a survey, then I'll probably offer you a free problem solving session. Mm-hmm. And this person had booked it at 6 a.m. my time, which is not my favorite time, but I understand they're probably in Brazil or someplace in Europe. So or the
Spain,
time
yeah.
change. Yeah. But they didn't show up. And so I'm sitting there waiting. Plus I'm out of coffee today. So this doesn't help anything. So I generally those kinds of things either get me, you know, sometimes I can think no big deal, but this morning feeling very discouraged. Why am I even doing this? Why am I pushing so hard? Oh, I sound a little bit like Eeyore from the Disney cartoons.
to be fair though, that drives me nuts when people don't turn up for when they don't turn up for a meeting. It's a lack of respect, you know.
It's just, yeah, I was going to say that was one of the reasons we fire clients, right?
yeah. We'll do that one again sometime in the future. But yeah, but that whole thing about just not turning up and not sending out any kind of notice or warning, even if it's right before the meeting, you know, really sorry, something's come up, can't make it. That's not good. That's not the way you run a business.
Well, and shame on me for not doing it differently, maybe. But to be honest, I've done about 40 of these in the last couple of months, and only two have not shown up. So generally, people thank me. They, but that's not important. They said they received some help, some new ideas. They're appreciative of it. I learned something, so it's good. But sometimes when my brain gets in a funk, I start to get in a spiral, a downward cycle that can be hard to pull out of.
I probably go through that once a week, to be honest. I'm not the most upbeat of people. People maybe have already gathered that. I don't know through the series of episodes that we've done. But I actually find it quite hard to be continually upbeat about business. You know, I need a series of events to keep that sort of bounciness going. And you can guarantee, Michael is only too aware of this, but almost once a week, guaranteed, I'll plug in and they'll say, "How you doing? How's the day going?" And I'll say, "Crap."
Now, Michael,
this is just rubbish. Everything is rubbish. Let's quit. I'm going to do something else.
yes. Michael seems like such an upbeat person.
He is. He's the complete opposite to me.
He always seems like just like hello and life is good and the sun is shining and I mean maybe it's not really, but he seems so optimistic. And sometimes for an optimist like me, I need that. Sometimes it makes me a little pissy because I think, shut up.
Yeah. So Is this something that, like you said, you see, you've had 40 of these calls, only two have not turned up. I mean, that's a really good percentage. But I mean, obviously this isn't the only thing in business that can get us down every now and again. Do you think this is something that you're perhaps more prone to than other business owners? Is it thing, you know, well, like I said, I go through it on it very often, but I mean, for you?
Yeah, I thought so until you said you went through it. I thought I was all alone. And
once a week, easy.
Yeah, for me too, to be honest, about once a week. And I wonder if I should start trying to sort of keep notes of what day it happens. But I do find that a sale or a new client or a sale of a product, a book or a workshop, all of a sudden everything seems like it might be okay. I got told about a year ago by somebody, my mentor, they said, you really learned to wallow in your self-pity somewhere in your life, didn't you? Who taught you to wallow like that? Was that your mother or father? And at first I didn't like it. I didn't like being told that. It was embarrassing. But, you know, I've sort of since come to realize that, okay, that is something that I have learned to do. And I hope maybe I can unlearn to do it. But the feeling of we might as well just trash it all and go get jobs, I think that feels really, that's like something I say to my wife at least every other week. I try not to wallow in public too often.
Well, to be honest, I'd never got that impression. So you obviously do keep it well under tabs. But yeah, that's some very direct feedback from your mentor. And if it was on the money, then, you know, he's obviously a great mentor.
Yeah, but the interesting part was that idea of like, where did you learn that? Because for me, I'd always assumed that it was just the way I was, the way I was formed, or the shape I had, or, you know, it's just my personality. These are all things that I kind of excuses I use, I give myself to not really grow or learn or try and change because it's just the way I am. So to have somebody ask me, where did you learn that, caused me to really think deeply. And I actually think it was probably my mother who kind of taught me through her actions, in some ways that wallowing is a way of protecting yourself, a way of being a little bit pessimistic. I don't know. I mean, I hate to, it was my mother, but the reality was somebody taught it to me and I've picked it up and I've become a master wallower at this point.
That's probably true of myself as well. So it's kind of a little weird. I do tend to gloat over the more disappointing areas of my life, shall I say. It's like that classic, the classic example of, you know, if you get 100 sort of positive comments, pieces of feedback or whatever, on anything you do, and then you just get one that's slightly subpar, shall we say, you can guarantee that's the one that you will focus on for the following 24, 48 hours, 72, or even up to a week, you know, get you into a real funk. But outside of realizing, for example, with you, where you'd learned this behavior from, I think we all battle with how we are. You just said, I just presumed that's me. That's the way I am. That's the way I'm built. And I think oftentimes we don't even try to look past that, do we? Because it's just, like you said, it's the way I am. That's it. There's nothing else to go. There's nothing else to say there. But do you think realizing or recognizing or even looking for where that had come from, has that helped in any way or has it not? Or maybe I need to start looking. I don't know.
In the long run, I think it gave me the idea that change was possible, because I think whatever can be learned, that means something new could be learned, maybe unlearned, but certainly some new opportunities or new options for how we behave can be learned. And the older I get, the more I see that, at least for me, the challenge in life is seeing that there's other ways I could respond to situations, whether they're personal or professional, or situations in myself, things I feel. So I think it was interesting to kind of have that idea that searching for where you learned it, I can't exactly figure it out. It probably happened over a series of years, but somewhere it's just like, I think, I don't remember if we spoke about this on a previous episode, but when my father told me, well, you're not a math guy, Marcus. And another time he said, you're not really like an athlete. So you probably should focus on what you're good at. those things gave me the impression that I was made a certain way and that there was, it was really futile to try and break out of that shell. So now I'm trying to think about that I have more options than were originally presented to me. And that means I have some more things to learn. But of course, now we're getting very deep into it. And I bet people are hoping we're going to relate this back to work or our business somehow.
Oh, well, I'm sure if they've listened to enough podcast episodes, you know, before this one, that I'm sure they know that we, you know, we keep it real.
That's right.
We don't skim across the surface. So, no, but it's funny. Before we do come back to the work thing, what are you saying about your dad making those comments? It's only when you become a parent yourself that you realize the enormous responsibility that your parents had on their shoulders and that they weren't always aware of exactly what they were doing. Like when he was making those comments, I'm sure he wasn't thinking 20, 30 years down the road, Marcus is going to have, you know, this is going to come back and bite him, you know?
So he was trying to be helpful.
Of course,
he was trying to console a chubby kid who didn't run very well on why the mile was so hard. Right? And I appreciated that. And it was very consoling in the moment. So you're exactly right. It's only when we become parents that we sort of can look and go, oh, crud, there's so much weight on everything that gets said.
Yeah. So you have to be very careful. I'm sometimes aware of that now when I'm talking to my daughter. I wonder in how many ways I'm damaging her now for the future.
Well, we all do it.
All right, then. So let's bring it back around to work then. So these funk moments, like I said, for me, they're quite habitual. They don't necessarily last as long anymore. I think, you know, what you sort of inferred before that, certainly as I get older, that I'm able to shrug these moments off a lot quicker now than I used to be able to. So perhaps before, you know, if business was a bit slow, or, you know, if I had a particularly bad experience, or if a client had bailed or a project had bailed, then it would have taken me longer to get over maybe a few years ago than it would do now. And I'm not sure if that's in some way related to the fact that, you know, business for me is different now. So, you know, I do have Michael, I do have my co-host. So I can always sort of bounce that sense of, oh, well, you know, we're not doing as well as we could be. And Michael will generally throw some figures back at me to show that this isn't actually quite true. So, you know, it's sort of my point of reason, you know, being able to sort of maybe rationalize a few things. I mean, do you think you deal with it in the same way now as you did maybe 5-10 years ago? Has that changed at all with regards to the sort of the business funk?
Yeah, I think it has. To be honest, the first thing I do now is I usually try and say to my wife, well, I'm really wallowing today. Just acknowledging on the outside, what's happening on the inside sort of is a beginning of like breaking the power that it has to keep me in a dark mood. Mm-hmm. And she knows what that means. She doesn't criticize me. She goes, oh, I hope things get better. She doesn't take it on herself to try and, oh, I have to cheer him up or anything else. I try and make kind of a light-handed comment. Well, I'm really wallowing in it today. And she says, well, I hope things get better. But just being able to talk about it somehow goes, okay, so maybe it's not as powerful as I think. But the other thing is I've learned that getting up and going for a walk, going for a bike ride, just kind of, I know that there's endorphins and chemicals in your body that are released when you exercise, and I'm a big believer in that. But I also just think sometimes stop trying to just push on whatever I'm doing right now and just kind of change my surroundings for 30 minutes. That oftentimes helps. And I come back with, okay, all I needed was a walk and now I have a new idea and a tiny bit of optimistic hope, just a spark that whatever I'm working on may not be a complete failure.
With regards to those endorphins, and I'm sorry, folks, this always for me comes back to cycling, but when I'm really having a down day, it's actually always the moment I least feel like riding my bike, whether that's outdoors or on the indoor train or whatever. And I never feel like, but I'm at this point now where I know, absolutely know 100% without a shadow of a doubt that if I am having a rubbish day, if I just go out on the bike, even if it's just for a quick spin, by the time I come back, that sort of darkness would have been lifted. And like you said, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, sort of new thoughts coming in, whether it's clearing out what I'm festering on, the mixed up with the endorphins and everything. But I always come back feeling much better about the situation. And even if I'm still worried about something, you know, that may have happened, I'm able to rationalize and I'm able to deal with it in a far better way rather than just thinking, oh no, this is the end. This is the end. This is the end. For me now, exercise is absolutely the key for getting out of that funk.
And you know, it's funny you say that because that is the time when I don't want to do anything but shove chocolate in my face. I don't want to go on the treadmill or take a walk. I just want to sit and
curl up.
Yeah, exactly. I want to eat something I shouldn't. And I want like that immediate quick hit of calories and salt or sugar. But, you know, I like also what Michael does. I'm just going to go back to that. It sounds to me, and I had a business partner who would do this too. They would oftentimes point me to data. Well, let's look at the numbers because, okay, you feel like everything's rubbish today, but let's look, you know, month over month, we're up 10%, or year over year, we're up 50%. Just sometimes telling your, you know, actually looking at the numbers gives you a clearer picture rather than a gut level picture of just, it's never going to work.
Between Michael and myself, I think that's the big difference between, you know, he's a developer. He is a numbers guy. You know, that's what, you know, that's how he works. So, and for me, you know, I've always been the designer and the sort of, you know, I was a musician when I was younger and I guess kind of a bit more artsy. So I would always just, yeah, you know, whatever, I'd go on my feelings and that would be it. So yeah, it is great to have someone who comes from a completely other, you know, from another place and is able to push back and say, well, actually, you know, that's just your perception.
Right. It just seems like everything's rubbish. In reality, if you're an accountant, that's why I love my accountant in some ways, because they they just look at the numbers and they, well, this is where you're at, and good or bad, that we can deal with the situation. A lot of my problems, and maybe this is different for you, but is I don't think things should be so hard when I start. I have the impression that whatever I'm about to embark on, new product, new book, new service, new speaking engagement, new client, you know, just the business. And it shouldn't be so hard. After all, everyone else on the internet is succeeding. At least that's what it seems like if you read Facebook, is everyone else is having this wonderful life and all these other business people around you, maybe they're in peer groups or people you look up to. They are crushing it or killing it, or they're just so successful and you are plodding along, just barely hanging on. It can seem like, well, it's just not meant to be. Again, Marcus, you're just not cut out to be a business person.
I bet if we could be a fly on the wall in a conversation between Gary Vee and his shrink, you know, if he does have a shrink, I don't know. It wouldn't all be roses. You know, it wouldn't be what we're seeing on his social media all the time, I'm sure. Like you said, all those people that are up there that are crushing it, killing it, you know, their businesses are booming and then it's 1,000% growth rate month over month.
Oh, I hate them.
Yeah, I'm sure if you speak to half of those, we could have pretty much the same conversation as you and I are having now. You know, that presentation of yourself online and the way that, you know, you present yourself to, you know, externally is obviously we want people to see what we want them to see, isn't it? So having, in your case, your wife behind you for you to be able to turn around and say, do you know what, I'm having a really crap day. Just bear with me. Or for me to be able to do that with Nuria and on a business level, turn around to Michael, you know, it's invaluable, isn't it? Because otherwise, who are you going to talk to? You know, my dog's a great listener, but she doesn't offer much advice, you know? So it's just, I think having someone there, at least just to be able to turn around and say, look, just ignore me for today, okay? Because I'm not going to be the best person to speak to.
I think I've said that. I love that. Just ignore me. Don't mind me. I'm going to be running around or moping or, you know, seeming in a bad mood. But it's not about you. It's about something else.
It's a shame, actually. You can't have bespoke podcast images for each episode, because otherwise, you know, instead of just the iTunes, because otherwise we would definitely have to have Eeyore, I think, on the cover of this week's.
Well, we'll see if we
podcast.
If we post it out to Medium or something, I'll try and pick an image of a sad person.
I can't get Eeyore out of my head now. That's just, that seems to be the ideal image for this week's conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody told me once, they said, you know, you're oftentimes, Marcus, you're really oftentimes comparing your inside with other people's outsides. Mm. It's that idea of the social media or even how people present themselves is usually polished and intentional. And we don't like to come across as Eeyore, as needy, think, you know, down. Especially if we're speaking with someone who isn't just a part of our family, we put on that persona of positive and everything's great. But just remember, their inside looks different as well.
That's fine. Yeah, I really like that. You've got a load of these gems hidden away. Every time we talk, there's something that comes out like that. That's I really like that a lot. Yeah.
Like, well, you know, when you get old, you compile these. They give you a list when you get to almost 50.
You're not that much older than me. You're not that much older than me.
Somebody the other day offered me the senior discount at a store, and I took it. I wasn't supposed to, but I took it because it made me feel better.
I spoke to a friend the other day. We were out on a bike ride. And he's older than me as well. In fact, he's going to be 49 next month. And I actually said to him a couple of months ago when we were on a ride, I said, when you turn 50, I said, is it this year? And I thought he was going to get off the bike and hit me. He's just like, no, I am 49 this year. And he was really quite sensitive about it. I thought, oh, sorry, didn't mean anything by it.
It's quite upsetting for those of us. Now, I'll be 47. No. Oh, crap. I did it. I'll be 48 in June. So
You've got 6 years on me. So when do they give you that list then? Because I'm up for that.
45. Secretly come and they give you the list. Yeah. And the handshake and they take a lot more of your money for some reason. Oh, that's because you have grandchildren. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That could be it. All right, cool, man. Well, I don't know. This seems, maybe we need to rename the podcast or something. I don't know. In the Seat or something, or Shrink.
We'll call it the Creative Business Therapy Sessions.
Yeah. We spoke about that a while ago, didn't we? Getting people ring in and do on, you know, live therapy, live business therapy or something.
Solve their problems on the air, like an old time call-in radio show.
Oh, if anybody's up for that, drop us a line. That could be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, I actually do that every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific for technical leaders. I have a call-in show and I do it live, and people show up and they ask me weird questions, and it's always an adventure.
Oh, fantastic. Where do people go and find that? What's the URL for that?
Right now, it's still at marcusblankenship.com/unstuck. The name of the show is the Unstuck, the Tech Leader Q&A Show. So it's always live, though, and it's always interesting to have people bring new problems. It's kind of fun. I like it, at least. And we get usually maybe like 100 folks show up every week. So it's kind of fun.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. What time did you say it was?
10 a.m. Pacific time every Friday.
In Pacific. Okay. All right, cool. All right, well, we'll leave it there then, I reckon. And maybe we'll circle back around again, maybe in a few weeks or a few months, and come back and redo the lost episode. Who knows? Or we'd be inspired to talk about something else.
Yeah, and if anybody out there does want us to answer their question, or heck, I bet we'd even record one of these live with you, or not live with you, but we'd record one with you and talk about what's going on. You know, the whole reason we're here is to help you. You're a creative business owner. You've got an idea. You are pushing forward. It's hard, and we want to support you. We've been there. So let us help you.
Fantastic. So if you want to get in touch, it's podcast@thecreativebusinesspodcast, or you can reach out to Marcus via his website, marcusblankenship.com, or of course, you can get in touch with me via our website, which is nusi.com, and we'd be only too happy to help you. So have a great weekend, Marcus, and I will speak to you again next week.
You too, Nathan. Talk to you later.
Cheers, man. Bye-bye.